rolls from the back.
Do that from the back.
Two rolls.
Okay.
We have just one announcement. Please silence all your electronics before we begin this morning. Thank you all for being here on this lovely snowy day. And without further ado, oh Lord, help us. I give you the best Christmas pageant ever. Bring the candles, light the tree. There's something that Christmas does to me. It weaves a charm, it casts a spell, it sheds a warmth I cannot tell. Thank all that is and all that will be for all that Christmas does to me. Please rise as you are willing and able and join in singing number 231, Angels We Have Heard on High.
The Herdmans were absolutely the worst kids in the history of the world. They lied and stole and smoked cigars and talked dirty and hit little kids and cussed their teachers and set fire to Fred Shoemaker's old broken down tool house. It was a terrific fire. Two engines and two police cars and all the volunteer firemen and 5 dozen donuts sent up from the tasty lunch diner. The donuts were supposed to be for the firemen, but by the time they got the fire out, the donuts were all gone. The Herdmans got them. What they couldn't eat, they stuffed in their pockets and down the front of their shirts.
Come here.
The fire chief gave all of us kids a lecture about playing with matches. Turns out, though, the neighbors had been pestering Mr. Shoemaker to do something about the old tool house because it was about to fall down anyway. So they said the fire was a blessing in disguise. My father said it was the only good thing the Herdmans ever did, and if they'd known it was a good thing, they wouldn't have done it at all. I was always in the same grade with Imogene Herdman, and what I did was stay out of her way. You couldn't do it if you were very pretty, or very ugly, or very smart, or very dumb, or had anything unusual about you, like red hair, or double-jointed thumbs. But if you were a medium kid like me, and you kept your mouth shut, you did okay. As far as anyone could tell, Imogene was just like the rest of the Herdmans. She never learned anything either, except dirty words and secrets about everybody. It was no good trying to get secrets on the Herdmans. Everybody already knew about the awful things they did. You couldn't even tease them about their parents or holler, "Your father's in jail," because they didn't care. Actually, they didn't know what their father was or where he was or anything about him. Because when the youngest Herdman, Gladys, was 2 years old, he climbed on a railroad train and disappeared. Nobody blamed him. Mrs. Herdman worked double shifts at the shoe factory and wasn't home much. So the Herdmans looked pretty much after themselves. The big ones taught the little ones everything they knew. And the proof of that was that the meanest Herdman of all was Gladys, the youngest. We figured they were headed straight for hell by way of the state penitentiary until they got themselves mixed up with the church and my mother and our Christmas pageant.
On a starry night. In this time, when the days grow short and nights are long, dark, and cold, light in our hearts the light of faith and give us courage to learn from the darkness. Each of us has faced our own times of darkness. We have felt alone. We have been afraid. Yet we trust that we too will find that dark and light are two halves of one whole, and turn again to life with courage and with faith. Please stay seated and join in singing number 244, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, verses 1 and 4.
Armstrong fell and broke her leg, my mother was put in charge of the Christmas pageant. Our Christmas pageant isn't what you would call four-star entertainment. Mrs. Armstrong breaking her leg was the only exciting thing that ever happened to it. The script is standard, the inn, the stable, the shepherds, the star, and so are the costumes, and so is the casting. Primary kids are angels. Intermediate kids are shepherds. Big boys are wise men. Elmer Hopkins, the minister's son, has been Joseph for as long as I can remember. And my friend Alice Wendelkin is Mary because she's so smart, so neat and clean, and most of all, so holy looking. All the rest of us are the angel choir, lined up according to height because nobody can sing parts. Now, this year was different. My brother Charlie had told the Herdmans that there would be cake at the rehearsal, and suddenly they all wanted to be in the Christmas pageant. At the first meeting, my mother started by asking for volunteers.
Now, I know that all of you children would like to be Mary in our pageant, but of course we can only have one Mary. So I'll ask for volunteers, Alice. And then we'll all decide together whether Alice should, who should get the part.
Now, see, that was pretty safe to say, since the only person who ever raised her hand was Alice Wendelken. But Alice just sat there, chewing on a piece of her hair and looking down at the floor. And the only person who raised her hand this time was Imogene Herdman.
Do you have a question, Imogene?
No, I want to be Mary, and Ralph wants to be Joseph.
Mother just stared at them. She couldn't believe this. What she didn't know was that Imogene had bullied Alice into letting her be Mary, and Elmer Hopkins was relieved he didn't have to be Joseph again. Last year, he had tried to pay Grady Baker 50 cents to be Joseph, and he wouldn't do it. Nobody volunteered to be wise men either, except Leroy, Claude, and Ollie Herdman. So there was my mother, stuck with a Christmas pageant full of Herdmans in the main roles. Even Reverend Hopkins wasn't sure what to do, so she lit an extra candle that week just for us.
She said, "We light one candle this week for all of the joys and all of the sorrows that we hold in our heart and for our nation and our world." And then she said, "And we light our last candle for the pageant and its volunteers. I have no words for the work they'll be doing this year, so just pray for them, okay? Oh, just pray." And then she said, "Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 241, In the Bleak Midwinter." We're going to do 1 and 3 only, verses 1 and 3 only.
Some people said it wasn't fair for a whole family who didn't even go to our church to barge in and take over the pageant. My father said somebody better lock up the Women's Society Silver Service. My mother said she would rather be in the hospital with Mrs. Armstrong. But then the flower committee took a pot of geranium to Mrs. Armstrong and told her what was going on, and she nearly fell out of bed, traction bars and all. She said that if she had been up and around, the whole thing would have never happened. And that made my mother so mad she couldn't see straight.
If she'd been up and around, it wouldn't have happened? That woman! She must be surprised the sun is still coming up every morning without her to supervise. Helen Armstrong is not the only woman alive who can run a Christmas pageant. I'd made up my mind to do the best I could under the circumstances, but now, now I'm going to make this the very best Christmas pageant ever. And I'm going to do it with the Herdmans, too. After all, they raised their hands and nobody else did. And that's that.
So mother called the first rehearsal. Everybody shut up right away for fear of missing something awful the Herdmans might do. Leroy had already knuckled Charlie behind the ear, and one little girl yelled as Gladys went by. But mother said she was going to ignore everything except blood, and since the little girl wasn't bleeding, and neither was Charlie, nothing happened. Even so, right away, mother ran into trouble.
The shepherds, where'd they come from? What was an inn? It's like a motel where people go to spend the night.
Oh, honestly, Jesus wasn't even born yet. Mary and Joseph went there.
What happened first? Begin at the beginning.
The thing was, the Herdmans didn't know anything about the Christmas story. They knew that Christmas was Jesus' birthday, but everything else was news to them. The shepherds, the wise men, the star, the stable, the crowded inn. So Mother said she'd better begin by reading the story from the Bible. Now, this was a pain in the neck for most of us because we knew the whole thing backward and forward.
So, Joseph and Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child...
Pregnant?
I don't think it was very nice to say that Mary was pregnant.
But she was.
I'm not supposed to talk about people being pregnant. I'd better tell my mother.
Tell her what?
That your mother is talking about things like that in church.
I was pretty sure she would, too, because she still wanted to be Mary. But there wasn't much I could do about it but pinch Alice when I did, and...
Ouch!
She yelped. As Mother told the story, one of the Herdmans would yell, "What's that?" whenever they didn't understand something.
You mean there wasn't any room in the inn? Not even for Jesus?
Well, now, come on. Not anybody. Knew that the baby was going to turn out to be Jesus.
Then Mary knew. I didn't think Helen.
I would have told them. Boy, would I have told them. What was the matter with Joseph that he didn't tell them? Her pregnant and everything.
What was that they laid the baby in? The manger? Is that like the bed? Why did they have a bed in the barn?
That's the point. They didn't have a bed in the barn, so Mary and Joseph had to use whatever there was. What would you do if you had a new baby and no bed to put it in?
We put Gladys in a dresser drawer.
Well, there you are. You didn't have a bed for Gladys, so you had to use something else. Mary and Joseph used a manger. A manger is a large wooden feeding trough for animals.
What were the wadded up dolls?
The what?
You read about it. She wrapped them in the wadded up clothes.
Wadded up clothes. Swaddling clothes. A long time ago, people used to wrap their babies very tightly in big pieces of material so they couldn't move around a lot. Made the babies feel cozy and comfortable.
Why didn't Mary get to name the baby?
I named him.
Joseph didn't name the baby either, sorry. God sent an angel to tell Mary what his name should be.
I would have named him Bill. What did the angel do? Just walk up and say, "Name him Jesus."
Mother was in a hurry to finish, so she said,
"Yes."
But then Alice Wendelken had to open her big mouth.
I know what the angel said. She said, "His name shall be the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace."
I could have hit her.
My God! He'd never get out of the first grade if he had to write all of that.
And so it went. Mother telling the story and explaining it to the Herdmans. They were really interested in Herod. When Mother said that Herod planned to put the baby Jesus to death, Imogene exclaimed,
"My God, he just got born and already they're out to kill him?"
I figured they were interested in Herod because they liked him. He was so mean, he could have been their ancestor, Herod Herdman. But I was wrong. They wanted somebody to be Herod so they could beat up on him. I couldn't understand the Herdmans. You would have thought the Christmas story came right out of the police files. They got so involved in it. Wanted a bloody end to Herod, worried about Mary having her baby in a barn, and calling the wise men a bunch of dirty spies. After she finished the story, we got through the first rehearsal. During the second rehearsal, Reverend Hopkins called the fire department because she smelled smoke in the women's washroom. It just turned out to be Imogene smoking cigars during a break in the rehearsal. And while everyone was milling about on the street, the applesauce cake that the ladies on the potluck committee had been making burned up. When Reverend Hopkins heard that what really caused the fire, she asked Mother if she could just call the whole thing off. She said the whole church was in an uproar and she didn't think anyone would come see the pageant. But she was wrong. Everybody came to see what the Herdmans would do.
Christmas has come once more. Light in our hearts, the light of hope. And you better remember that the parents of Jesus were neither rich, nor powerful, nor famous. That from the most
humble
beginnings, any kid can come. Any kid who carries within the seeds of greatness and a great light. Help us to remember that in each one of us burns a flame which brightens the world.
The night of the pageant, there was the usual big mess all over the place. Baby angels getting poked in the eye by other baby angels' wings, and grumpy shepherds tripping over the costumes. But everything settled down, and at 7:30, the pageant began. When we were finished singing O Little Town of Bethlehem, Ralph and Imogene were there. Only for once, they didn't come through the door pushing each other out of the way. They just stood there for a minute, as if they weren't sure they were in the right place. Because of the spotlights, I guess, and the church being full of people. They looked like the people you see on the 6 o'clock news. Refugees in some strange, ugly place, with all their boxes and sacks around them. It suddenly occurred to me that this was just the way it must have been for the real Holy Family, stuck away in a barn by people who didn't care much what happened to them. They couldn't have been very neat and tidy either, but more like this, Mary and Joseph.
I don't think it's very nice to burp the baby Jesus as if Do you suppose he could have had colic?
I don't know why not. Anyway, next came Gladys from behind the angel choir, pushing people out of the way and stepping on everyone's feet. And then the wise men came in. I don't know, but whatever it was heavy. Leroy almost dropped it.
I knew this would happen. I bet it's something awful, like a burnt offering.
Well, they did burn things, but they hadn't burned this yet. It was a ham. And right away, I knew where it came from. My father was on the church charitable works committee, and they gave away food baskets at Christmas. And this was the Herdman's food basket ham.
I bet they stole that.
The Herdmans had never before in their lives given anything away except lumps on the head. So you had to be impressed. When it was time for the wise men to leave, the Herdmans forgot or didn't want to or something because they didn't leave. They just sat there, and there wasn't anything anyone could do about it. Well, as a matter of fact, it made perfect sense for the wise men to sit down and rest. They had come a long way. As for ruining the whole thing, it seemed to me that the Herdmans had improved it a lot just by doing what came naturally, like burping the baby, for instance, or thinking a ham would make a better present than a lot of perfumed oil. At this time of giving gifts, lovingly made and carefully chosen. At this time of sharing with one another that which is deepest and dearest. Light in our hearts, the light of love. Heal in our hearts the wounds of misunderstanding, mistakes, and regrets. Help us to reach out with joy for the gifts which life and love offer us. Sustain our hopes as we work together toward bringing everyone into the circle of one human family. Grant us each one a wise and understanding heart. I almost wish for the pageant to go on with the Herdmans in charge to see what else they would do that was different. Maybe the wise men would tell Mary about their problems with Herod, and she would tell them to go back and lie their heads off. Or Joseph might go with them and get rid of the Herod once and for all. I was so busy planning new ways to save the baby Jesus that I didn't notice Imogene at first. When I did, I almost dropped my hymn book on a baby angel. Imogene Herdman was crying. In the candlelight, her face was all shiny with tears, and she didn't even bother to wipe them away. She just sat there, awful old Imogene, in her crookedy veil, crying and crying and crying. I guess Christmas just came over her all at once, like a case of chills or fever, and so she was crying.
Oh,
Well, it was the best Christmas pageant we ever had. Everybody said so, but nobody seemed to know why. When it was over, people stood around the lobby of the church talking about it. There was something special. They couldn't quite put their finger on what. Now, whenever I think of the Christmas story, Mary is always going to look a lot like Imogene Herdman, sort of nervous and bewildered, but ready to clobber anyone who lays a hand on her baby. And the wise men are always going to be Leroy and his brothers bearing ham. When we came out of the church that night, it was cold and clear, with crunchy snow underfoot and bright, bright stars overhead. And I thought about the angel of the Lord, Gladys, with her skinny legs and her dirty sneakers sticking out from under her robe, yelling at all of us everywhere.
Could I get a round of applause for absolutely everyone who made today possible? For Doug Esty and Nancy Brott. And for Tracy Moraine and Bjorn Larson. For Carl Tim, who played for rehearsal, and Dennis, who did the sound today. For Chris Rollins, DRE and chief pancake maker at the rehearsal. For all the wonderful RE helpers. And how about for our cast, Scott Morgan, our narrator. Doug Esty as father. Kaya Rollins as Imogene Herdman. And Zachary Suttender as Ralph Herdman. Olivia is a stand-in for our Gladys. All right. Give her an extra round. She stepped in at the last minute and did it upright. Zeke McKay as Leroy Herdman. Harrison Pack as Claude Herdman. Willem Moore as Ollie Herdman. Isabella Nichols as Alice. Me standing in for the Reverend Hopkins and Mother. Our beautiful baby angel. And our amazing and stoic shepherd. And all of our traumatized townspeople, the adult RE volunteers. Thank you, Laura Nyquist. And for our choir, whose patience and their tolerance knows no bounds. Can we all give an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
right, I got a couple of last breaking announcements here as we're slowly bringing it down. Amen. Yowza. Got a couple of last little bits of things to take care of here. All cookies are now reduced in price. I would certainly suggest you go take a look and see just how far they've been reduced. And let's get all the cookies out of here. Hold on. Doug, Nancy, Amy, and Chris, we have something for you. Please come on up. Let's see.
Thank you.
You very did a great job. Did a great job. Yes.
Throw!
Oh! Yeah. Stairs there. Yes. Very nicely done. And where is Chris? Did she take all the kids? Oh, there she is! Nicely done. Very good. I think we can call it good. Go have some cookies.